People often ask me, especially of late, about the relationship between chinuch in schools and at home. I always answer that Baruch Hashem, I have found it easier than most because I have the great zchut of being married to one of Judaism's premier educators and a most wonderful role model for our own children. Shani uniquely combines intelligence and scholarship with personal warmth, care, and a personal kesher. She also embodies advanced Torah learning for women together with a strong commitment to Torah and mitzvot in our Mesorah. I know she is a role model for many in addition to our nuclear family. So I thank her for everything she does for me, our family, her Talmidot, and the broader Jewish community, and for her presentation this morning.
I feel very humbled, not only after such a beautiful introduction, but to be in the presence of the primary educators of today's generation, and that's all of you, the parents of the children that we have the zchut to educate in Eretz Yisrael, the parents of the children whom you invest in, Rama, in utero, and to look around and to see the educators of elementary schools, high schools, midrashot, and beyond, and to learn together with you this morning as we participate in a collaborative venture of furthering the education and sensitizing ourselves and our children to what chinuch is all about. And due to somewhat limited time, we're going to take a shortcut and see how through Chazal literature we can truly understand different models of chinuch, different models of how to educate our children, sometimes even from a very critical eye of Chazal. And we know that our sages don't just teach us in a very bland manner, but rather attempt in a creative way to teach us the messages, whether it be messages of Yirat Shamayim, Ahavat Hashem, as Rav Kruzansky has explained beautifully, the idea of Ahar Eimeinu B'Tarotecha, of enlivening and enlightening our children in the beauty and the depth of the words of Torah. But Chazal also teach us in a creative way how they look at models of education. So without further ado, we're going to take a look at Masechet Kiddushin, a sugya that deals with the chovah, the obligation of parents to teach their children Torah, but a very interesting context in which we find that Chazal are going to speak about preferences. If only one person can learn Torah, then who should be the one to learn Torah? The father, who has the responsibility to teach the child, or the child, who ultimately must be taught? Our rabbis taught Tanu Rabbanan. Efa who? Who lilmod u b'no lilmod? Efa, the father and the son must study, then it's the father who takes precedence over the son. However, says Rabbi Yehuda, in b'no zariz u memulach, if his son is energetic, if he's seasoned, if he has a lot of spice and interest, then we ultimately will presume that his learning will stay with him, Talmudo mitkayim biyado, and then b'no kotmo, then the son takes precedence. Like the famous case of Rabbi Yaakov, who was the son of Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov. And I believe that even this presentation is very significant. We don't just hear Rabbi Yaakov b'no shel Rabbi Acha, it's Rabbi Yaakov b'no shel Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov, already showing us the transition and the continuation from grandfather to son to grandson that takes place with regard to Talmud Torah. The father, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, sent Yaakov to Abaye. But when he returned, he saw that his studies weren't as sharp as he anticipated. Here is a very bright child being sent off to school, and not only any school, but the Talmudic Academy of Abaye. And he's very disappointed when perhaps he has learned a lot, but his learning, his Talmud Torah, is not mechudad, is not sharp. So he says, if that's the case, let's go back. I'm really more preferable to you when it comes to Talmud Torah. So you stay here because I'm going to the Beis Medrash of Abaye. Abaye heard that he was coming, and at that point there was a destructive force in the Beis Medrash. What was the force? There was a mazik, Bei Rabbanan. And Abaye heard that he was going, that Rav Acha bar Yaakov was going to come, and he thought, great, I'll have Rav Acha bar Yaakov deal with this mazik, this destructive force. Even this force, when they entered, even the chavrutot in pairs during the day, generally shadim or mazikim, destructive forces, only appear at night. But this was a unique force that continued to harm the Talmidim of the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Abaye even during the day. So Abaye said, when Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov comes to town, everyone should not give him hachnasat orchim. No one should offer to give him lodging. A very strange request of his Talmidim. He says, maybe a nes, maybe a miracle will occur. Sure enough, Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov comes into the Beit Midrash, and because no one's inviting him home to sleep, he stays in the Beis Medrash, he stays in the Rabbinic Academy. And sure enough, the Mazik appears. I'm sure J.K. Rowling was inspired by this. And all of a sudden, the Mazik appears as a seven-headed serpent. Each time, however, that Rav Acha Bar Yaakov approached him, he bowed, and one of the heads of the serpent fell off. He said to them, he said to Abaye and all the Talmidim the very next day, he says, if a miracle had not occurred, then I would have been in a matzav, I would have been in a situation of sakana, my life would be endangered. And basically he's warning them, don't rely on a miracle. If I had not been there and a miracle had not occurred, then everyone's life would have been endangered. And the question is, what is this great story really talking about? What are Chazal teaching us? Efa, not only to elaborate on the idea of the preference of a father and a son. So firstly, Gandhi, the first element that we find is that ultimately everyone should be learning on their own. A father should really be teaching himself. He takes preference, except if the son is of exceptional aptitude. Here we find a very strong proof text for such a story. Rav Yaakov, the son of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, is a very bright child, whose brilliance, however, upon return from yeshiva, does not seem to translate into academic success. What a wonderful story, then, for parents and educators abound. What happens when we have children who clearly are talented, and yet the school setting in which we send them doesn't always seem appropriate? They don't seem to flourish there. So what we're going to continue to see is the theme of individuation throughout the story. The element of subjectivity when it comes to guidelines in educating our children. We find that here is a case of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, who sends his son specifically to the Beit Midrash of Abaye. And we know throughout the Gemara that Abaye always loses to his contemporary, to his peer, to Rava. Nonetheless, Chazal teach us that Rava outlived Abaye, that Abaye outlived Rava, particularly because Abaye was not only engaged in Talmud Torah, but also engaged in gemilut chasadim, and wonderful kindnesses. And Chazal continued to tell us that perhaps this suggestion of Abaye represents a very broad-minded religious environment. We're going to take a look at a Gemara in Brachot that underscores this idea of Abaye from a very young age. Another seemingly amorphous sugya, Abaye and Rava were sitting before their Rebbe, Rava, and they clearly are very young at this stage, and Rava says to them, Lemi mevarchin, who do we bless, who do we turn to, in Hoda'ah? Amrele l'rachmana. They both answered, we turn to the Merciful One, we bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then Rava continues, v'rachmana hechayativ. And where is this Rachmana sitting? Clearly, he doesn't know Uncle Moshe. Rava answers, he says, Achve l'shmei tlala. What firstly Rava does is he points up within the Beit Midrash, he points to the ceiling, he points to the roof beams, perhaps trying to tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found in the details of structure. We need a halachic infrastructure. We need an educational setting in which to be able to appreciate the wondrous glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Abaye, however, seemingly has a case of ADD. Abaye runs out. He doesn't even stay within the walls of the Beit Midrash, but runs outside, and he points a klape shmaya. He turns all the way up to the skies. And Rabbah answers to both of them. He says, you will both be travaychu rabbanan. You will both be great rabbis. I don't know if he meant this as a blessing or as a curse. But now we know, Rabbanan says, butzin mekatve yadeh, that we can see the fruit already from their sap. These were the Amoraim, Abaye and Rabbah, from a very young age. And look and see their brilliance. that started very early. Clearly, there is a certain depiction of their educational philosophies depicted from the stages of their youth. Abaye turns to the skies. He is not only disagreeing with Rava with regard to where does HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally sit? Are we supposed to be focused on the imminence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or as Abaye says, more on the transcendence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But from an educational perspective, Rava is sitting within the Beit Midrash and says, I can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu right here in the fine details of Halacha, within the lines of the Gemara, within the words and the underpinnings of Chazal. And yet, Abaye has to run outside, and he says, I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the skies above. I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in outside of the realm of the Beit Midrash. Something very significant that not only shows us the difference of different philosophies in general. We have Rava's model, perhaps as a precedent for Rav Soloveitchik, Abaye, Rav Kook. But much more than that, they're speaking about how different children are educated. Do we educate only within the formal classroom, or do we expose our children beyond as well? Do we want them to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the sciences, through the skies, through various extracurricular activities? And with this we understand then that when Rav Acha Bar Yaakov saw his son Yaakov, he understood this is a very bright child. This is a child then who can handle a very strong, a very heavy curriculum of Abaye. I'm going to send him to the Beit Midrash of Abaye, where he's going to be exposed to all different disciplines, where he's going to not just see the beams of the Beit Midrash, but he's going to see the skies. And yet he's quite disappointed. He's disappointed not only in that his son comes back and probably very well learned, probably very exposed, but not so sharpened in his learning. He finds that Yaakov comes back without much focus in learning. And he wants to see for himself what are the dangers of the Beit Midrash of Abaye. And how does the danger appear? It appears as a mazik, as a serpent with seven heads. The Maharal explains that seven, as we know, is always a number of multiplicity. Demons derive their power from multiplicity, which is an antithesis to one, an antithesis to a focus. And they have power specifically over the chavrutot that come into the Beit Midrash. This is what Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is coming to see. He recognizes that there's somewhat chaos going on within the school system of Abaye. He appreciates that there is a creative force, but one that is an uncontrolled interdisciplinary one. He sees that there is diversity, but this diversity seems to threaten the uniformity and perhaps then taking the form of this primordial serpent, which is distracting the students from their Talmud Torah. And therefore, we continue now with Rav Kook, who explains, based on the Gemara and Brachot, that really the difference between Rava and Abaye, he says, are two different tendencies in recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I would like to argue, different tendencies then in teaching our children the depths of Torah. The tendency, says Rav Kook, governed Abaye and Rava in their youth, finding respite in the shade of the tent. Through this, we find that Rava reaches an exalted consciousness and respite through the roof of the Beit Midrash. Abaye, however, strove for the breadth of knowledge through his inner understanding that transcends all boundaries. His inner nature drove him to express the stirrings of his soul. When he was asked, where does HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwell, by going outside and pointing to the sky, to the boundless space? It is possible that one who follows the path of divine wisdom is closer to practical wisdom. So with regard to halacha, he might be more accurate so that the halacha accords with him. And we're going to continue to see then this model. What does Rav Acha Bar Yaakov do? He comes to the Beit Midrash and he realizes that I sent my son to an excellent yeshiva, to a very broad-minded yeshiva, to a yeshiva where there are multiple studies, where he gets to see the sky, where there is a basketball team and a debating team and various varsities. But he realizes that his son has lost out on something. His son hasn't yet seen the beams of the Beit Midrash, that sharpened view of Torah. And what Chazal are trying to teach us is that there are different ways of educating our children. And one has to know the child well. One has to know the talents of the child, but also to know what we want our children exposed to. And perhaps what Chazal are teaching us from the story is that when Rav Acha bar Yaakov comes into the Beit Midrash, he starts bowing. He bows one prostration after the other, and then the heads of the serpents are going to fall off. We know that most of the Baalei Agada, the Maharsha, for example, explains that this is an expression of humility, that this is the anivut, that it's not enough to send our children to the best of the yeshivot. They're not going to come back with the personality of a Ben Torah, of a Bat Torah, unless that's also accompanied by the proper character traits. I can only imagine that the students of Abaye's yeshiva were walking around expressing their pride in their school, in their Beit Midrash, recognizing that they have the opportunity to see the skies. And Rav Acha bar Yaakov wants to remind all of them, but that's going to be accompanied by anivut, with humility. And we have to make sure that we don't compromise on midot when we teach our children, even if they're exposed to the greater eshelon sha'ava of intellectual pursuits. The Netziv tells us as well that it's not only the snake, perhaps here, that is a symbol of multiple disciplines of wisdom, but we have a counter mashal, and that's the mashal of the menorah. The menorah alludes to the Chachmat HaTorah, the six branches of the menorah, very similar to our seven-headed serpent. With the central branch are the seven external disciplines that are subordinate to Torah, for the Torah requires for them to be explained. On these we have the kaftorim, the prachim. The Torah wants to tell us that we have to nourish these disciplines in order to understand the particulars of Dvar Hashem. And engraved with the Amen designs, with the Meshukadim, comes through the Shkida, the diligence of our children in studying, and that's the special purpose. Rav Acha bar Yaakov comes into the Beit Midrash and says, this isn't the only model. As a matter of fact, this could be a dangerous model. Especially when our children are young, to expose them to everything without necessarily focusing not only on Midot, but the central menorah, the central beam of the lantern, which is Talmud Torah. And therefore, he bows. He says that there are times when one should be exposed to all of these disciplines of learning, but we have to make sure that the central menorah, that the focus, is not going to be lost. And this, I believe, is what Chazal are trying to tell us. We know that Abaye says, when Rav Acha bar Yaakov comes to town, Abaye says, I can't deal with this mazik. I'm going to allow the parent to deal with this. Rav Acha bar Yaakov is going to come in and he's going to counter the educational philosophy of Abaye. And Abaye recognizes the shortcomings within his own philosophy. He turns to his Talmidim and he says, I'm the one who integrates Torah Gemilut Chasadim. I am the one who espouses an integrated approach to Talmud Torah. I think that it's imperative that our children learn every source and every subject that's out there. Let them see the skies. And yet he tells his children, but right now I see the dangers of my approach. As a matter of fact, no Gemilut Chasadim right now. I who represent Torah and Chesed, I want you to focus now just on Torah. Rav Acha bar Yaakov has to see that he's right, that there are times that we can't necessarily expose our children to all too much because then they're going to lose focus. Or maybe he means we can't expose every child to this. If we want our children to turn out like Abaye the adult, then maybe the model of Abaye the child is not really perfect for every student. And therefore, Rav Acha bar Yaakov comes in, and how ironic that Abaye, who represents the chesed, instructs them not to invite him. He comes into the Beit Midrash and deals with the dangers of Abaye's school of education. I'd like to end with the model of the menorah. The menorah that teaches us how we are supposed to incorporate all different chochmot, chachmot hamada, the sciences, chachmot habriyut, the health and extracurricular activities, but with the focus on the central beam of the menorah. Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, would always use the mashal of the menorah to teach us what every machanech has to aspire to. He explains that diffusion does entail, almost inevitably, some measure of dilution. And without necessarily mentioning the Gemara and Kiddushin that we've been exploring, I believe that every educator recognizes that there is a price to overexposing our children at times. And I don't necessarily mean overexposing them to different philosophies or different interpretations of Torah, in as much as trying to cater to every need of all the children, Ava exposing and providing them with every possible activity and subject. And the danger is that even if they may be very well-rounded children, they never will necessarily gain the focus of the beams of the Beit Midrash. They may lose sight of the trees for the forest. And it's true that we look at Abaye's perspective and we're awed by how he was able to combine it. We appreciate that he outlived Rava because he was able to integrate his Torah with Gemilut Chasadim. But we have to remember that the basis is Klal Gadol BaTorah, to offer the Keves Achad BaBoker and the Keves Achad Beit HaArbayim, to make sure that we focus on the values, on the character, but also on the Torah study that we want our children to gain in their youth, to make sure that we show them the focus, whether it's with regard to the number of hours per day, or the erudition, or the amount of time that we want them to spend on their Limudei Torah, their Limudei Kodesh, so that they don't lose sight of the details of halacha, of a Torah lifestyle. And if they have that basis, then perhaps when they're older, and that's why Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says, I can go to this Beit Midrash, I already have my basis in Talmud Torah, I can go now and be exposed to the Beit Midrash of Abaye and succeed against the dangers that lie within. Rav Lichtenstein concludes, he says, the pure Torah component within a Torah in Derech Eretz approach is indeed likely to command less single-minded loyalty than the unitary goal pursued by the Shemen Zayit Zach. We have a challenge today, Baruch Hashem. Our children are exposed. They're exposed not only to the world at large, but they're exposed on an educational level to subjects that we want them to learn, that we want to ultimately edify them. And what Chazal are teaching us is that there are multiple models of leadership. Perhaps they're telling us that we have to know our child and know what they can handle. And Rav Acha Bar Yaakov becomes involved in the picture because he appreciates the chain, not only the chain of the Mesorah, but the chain from Yaakov to Rav Acha to Yaakov, and how to transmit that Torah properly. He sent his son to one school only to realize that there are dangers there. And he himself is going to become involved in teaching us that there are other models, models in which we have to focus instead of on a seven-headed serpent, instead of all the multiple disciplines, to be able to focus on the menorah, on the Torah, on the skills, on the beams of that Beit Midrash. And Rav Lichtenstein tells us that there are, at times, dangers of the philosophy that we all espouse of Torah and Derech Eretz, and sometimes we lose the Torah for all the Derech Eretz. And Derech Eretz, in this sense, of the multiple activities that our children are involved in. What we need to do is remember the single-minded loyalty, that unitary goal that is presented not only through the menorah, but the Shemen Zayit Zach. And by this he means the Shemen that we all contribute, the korban, the daily sacrifice that was brought through the Shemen Zayit. Am Yisrael not only approach the mincha, the mizbeach and achoshet every day as they offer their karbanot and menachot, but also the menorah. They're required to bring from their own oils to that menorah. We as parents, we as teachers, have to make sure that we don't lose sight of that menorah, the seven-branch menorah, to counter the seven-headed serpents of the Beit Midrash of Abaye. And if we want our children to ultimately become the students of Rava and Abaye, to look at Chazal, to appreciate these models of leadership, to recognize that within the world of modern orthodoxy, that we believe that there are dangers that are there, and ultimately to be involved in the education of our children, to be able to focus on the values of Torah so that they'll see both the beams of the Beit Midrash and the skies that are out there as well.